It's your two favorite degenerates back with another Day One Dolphins podcast once again, hosted by your boy Ouch. Follow me on Twitter at YFinsYY. Here with me is my fellow lifelong Miami Dolphins fan, Chief Sutt, a.k.a. Coach Sutt. Go follow him on Twitter at Chief Sutt. Follow our podcast Twitter at Day One Dolphins to stay up to date. Let's get down to it. Sutt, man, I don't even got to ask you how you're feeling. I'm going to tell you how I'm feeling. I feel ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even get to digest how happy I should be until like the third or fourth watch back of this game. How do you feel?
I felt like I watched the replays of the highlights so many times at night afterwards, and I still didn't believe that all that actually happened. And I was DJing during it for those that, you know, don't keep tabs on me like that. But the whole time it was happening, people are like, dog, are you guys still scoring? Are you guys still going? And I had it on my iPad right there. At one point, there was a group of four just watching it, and they're like, this is an NFL game. You guys are just pulverizing them. I'm like, yeah, this guy's our four-string running back when Chris Brooks took off. I'm like,
fifth.
Sorry, fourth probably on the day. On the day it was probably third. But either way, doesn't make a difference. They're like, wait, that A-chan guy, he's, I'm like, he was third string last week. I'm pretty sure he was a healthy scratch week one. Like, right now.
People got put on notice about the kid, A-chan. That's how you say it.
Shout outs to Big Devon.
He came out and said it. He had a day. He definitely had a day. But I was thinking for this one, we could go through, do it position by position. If you want to start, we'll go a quarterback, and then we'll make our way to A-chan.
You want me to talk about the man himself?
Man, we could talk about every single player on this roster, I think, in this game, pretty much. And it was just, nobody could have predicted this score. Nobody could have predicted them showing mercy and not breaking the record for most points scored.
Yeah, that do you agree with that while we're on the topic? Do you agree with, you know, saying we wanted to get it the right way and actually break it properly and not be chasing points?
I don't know. I was thinking about it. And do you think that it might be just him trying to dodge like the media? You know what I mean? Like, imagine what the media would have been like. They would have been like, that immediately I could have seen it spun to where, like, I already saw people saying it was disrespectful who didn't watch the game,
mm-hmm.
who just saw the score. You know, you see a bunch of people saying that that's disrespectful, and it's because they had no idea that we had all of our third and fourth string players playing for the second half of the game, and it was all run plays that weren't defended. But
yep. I think
I could see him not wanting to deal with them. You know what I mean? He just wanted to be, you know, he don't want a big media frenzy about being the most scored and if it was disrespectful or not. He just wants to keep chugging and be 4-0.
He's trying to dead that for right now, if you will. And let's just keep it pushing. I think that's part of it. And I think the other part of it is he knows that he did that without wide receiver 2 and RB2, technically RB3 if you include Jeff Wilson. And I think he thinks we can do it again and actually hit 77, maybe even more naturally. So he's crazy.
Oh,
I'm crazy. Don't tell me not to get excited. I'm excited. I am so, dude.
Like, I told you not to get excited last week.
You told me not to get excited, and that was my fault. You know, I thought we had a close game, and at one point this game was competitive, and it was looking like, you know, it could be close, and then it just happened. Sometimes life comes that fast, and
screaming.
It came at them very fast.
I was screaming like at my TV. You know, my girlfriend's sitting there, and I'm just like, "Nah, drop 50." Nah, drop 70. Then I'm like, let's put 100 points on these fools right here, right now.
Right,
and I'm like gassed up about the Sean Payton storyline and him disrespecting the QB. And I'm just like, man, all right, let's get into QB.
Fun fact. Before we talk about the man. He talks about Nathaniel Hackett last year. Nathaniel Hackett started 2-1. And the Broncos are currently 0-3 and just got 70 hung on their head. So I don't know what you would call that coaching job. But
Wait. Nathaniel Hackett's on the Jets?
Yeah. Remember he coached...
They're 2-1?
No, he coached the Broncos last year. Remember? And all of it fell apart and Russ was terrible. But they started 2-1 before it all kind of fell apart.
Yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying. It doesn't feel like they started 2-1 based on my gambling losses that I told you about that I was heavily invested in the Broncos.
It's probably,
I felt like they lost more.
It was probably your spreads and your Russell Wilson bets.
God, I mean, I'm just, let's talk about
You know,
about
you, know who you can bet on? You can bet on Tua Tagovailoa.
Which brings us to the quarterbacks.
This guy finished with more tuggies than incompletions. He almost finished with more touchdowns with his offhand than he did incompletions. If he would have just gotten one more, he would have matched it. But I think anybody that watched it, you can continue to try to just say it's Tyreek Hill all you want, but his numbers with Tyreek Hill off the field speak for themselves. The things he was able to do with just the backs, just the tight ends, just with kind of whatever personnel was thrown at him, his fakes, how fast he gets the ball out, how quick he makes decisions, how he's always putting it, like, I'm not saying always putting it because he still has his boneheaded throw, you know, every once in a while. We didn't see it this week, but the first two games, he just had some willy-nilly just throw it up things. And
that was a good point, though. We did not see it this week.
He didn't do it. And he was faking us out when we were watching the film earlier. Like he was faking everyone out on top of setting everybody up, on top of basically pre-snap already knowing what time it was, and then still using his eyes and his body to get the secondary out of position or get the linebackers out of position or give himself a little bit of space. That way the ball doesn't get knocked in his face. Like everything he does is just surgical and it's impressive. And every single person that bumped, yeah, well, you better stay healthy. We know. Bro.
Yeah, everyone knows.
We know. There's no secret. And guess what?
Say that for any team.
It's the same thing for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's the same thing for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's the same thing for any team with a true franchise quarterback. Yeah. Yep. Keep him healthy. That's the point. Look at what happens when Joe Burrow's limping around. He can't do much. You get him up to a little bit of half speed, he can at least feed Jamar Chase. So get that guy out of my
face.
You
brought up a good point about the touchdowns. Like he had more touchdowns than incompletions and finishes with the 88.5% completion percentage. I'm thinking, I remember Travis Wingfield tweeting something. It was he said, Tua has played in 29 career games, and this is him in Alabama. In four of those games, he threw more touchdowns than incompletions. In one game, he had the same number of touchdowns as incompletions. In four games, he had one more incompletion than touchdowns. And in seven games, he only had two more incompletions than touchdowns. It's just...
That's what he does.
That means in 16 out of 29 games, which would make it 55.2% of his games in college, Tua had, at worst, two more incompletions than touchdowns. That was by Travis Wingfield when he was scouting Tua in 2019. And it's just like, it just goes to show you that this is who Tua has been. You know what I mean? You just give him the tools that he deserves, just like every other good quarterback, mm-hmm. and watch what happens. This is not unfamiliar for him. He's like extremely accurate, hyper accurate. We're getting to see it live and full for like at its ceiling right now. I feel like he's got to be the MVP front runner.
Absolutely.
There's no questions asked. I can't wait to scream MVP at my TV while he's playing the Bills and make something happen.
Yeah. I can't wait for Sunday.
Oh, it's going to be great. But, there is another quarterback that did come into play into the game, as much as I'd like to keep talking about Tua. Mike White comes in, right?
Hey.
How'd you feel about seeing our boy take two attempts, Mike White?
You know, the second attempt, I really appreciated that one because...
I mean, he killed Tua in the completion percentage, if we're being real, you know? He went 100% on him.
And yards,
two for two, baby.
Yards per attempt, killed him. 33.5. Tua only had 11.9. You know?
That's like when you you go to like take every quarterback in the league and filter it in order of yards per attempt. Yeah. And you see like Julian Edelman at the top because he threw one 100 yard touchdown or something.
Keenan Allen because he just had a fire one, so he's got a perfect passer rating. Man. So like sick. But yeah, nah, yeah, Mike White, that was cool, man. Like I'm not, you know, we're not the biggest Mike White supporters, I guess. It's very whatever for me.
I mean, USF, you know, I mean,
he was mid there.
He got to.
I don't care.
He got to.
I don't care. Whatever. It is cool that he is a true Dolphins fan, though. That's tight. That's Brody for me. So exactly. I don't really got to respect his game. I don't got to respect his gangster, but it's a Brody. He's fins up. I'm fins up. We in this. And he literally pulled up and wrecked, bro. Fourth quarter. No business doing anything. Let me just let it rip real quick. And he let it rip.
We would be here talking right now about how bad he looked in a winning game and how it's such a concern if Tua gets hurt. And instead, he came in and did just hit. The gas pedal was put down when Tua got out of the game.
Yeah.
He got in the car while it was hit, and he did not let his foot up, and I respect it. And
yeah, you know, he didn't take it off the throws, boy. Like, that was
God willing, we don't have to see him play unless it's a situation like this again. But for what he gave us, I'm content.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I respect it. And I had some Bills Mafia in my face while this was going down. And they turned it off on the TV that was up. They're like, we don't need to keep seeing that crap. And I'm like, but you got the Bills game on. They're like, yeah, we just dropped 9 sacks. And I'm like, 9 sacks? That's less touchdowns than we have. Like, yeah, we literally have 70 points. They're like, okay, well, da-da-da. I'm like, no, no.
I wouldn't go there ever again.
I worked there.
I wouldn't work there.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I'd light that place on fire.
Nah.
First, I'd call in and cancel their insurance.
They put up a little Bills pennant. They're like, see, it's a Bills bar. I was like, I'll go to the mall right now and buy one of them things. That ain't shit. Like, I'll do that right now just to, if that's the benchmark for being a Bills bar. Just, yeah, no, get out of my face with that.
What happens when the playoffs occur and they got, you know, a Tua jersey on the floor to wipe your feet when you go in? You're still going to show up.
They're going to have a lot of tough days, my brother, because they're going to have a long one on Sunday, if you ask me. Because if you want to move on from just our quarterback, did you see that running game that we hit these boys with the other day?
I sure did. It was hard to miss.
What'd you think of that?
A couple things. In the first half, seeing Raheem Mostert, you know, like really work for it and still like continues on pretty much with what he was talking about, how he put on some weight. You know, you could see it already, like his combination of speed, and then he gets himself a little heavier. Mm-hmm. Now his broken tackles are increased. I also saw, you know, a statistic the other day. I think it was posted by Ian Hartwitz or whatever you say his name. And it was showing you all the running backs that, the running backs in yards per carry since the Super Bowl era, minimum 500 career carries, and Raheem Mostert is now number one overall. And number two would be Bo Jackson. Number three, Jamal Charles. Number four, Nick Chubb. Number five, Gus Edwards somehow. But yeah, 5.42. That's insane.
I mean,
have your name sitting on Jesus. Top of Bo Jackson.
And it's believable. Because we've seen it for years. The only thing, again, is, oh, well, if you can stay healthy. Well, again, guys, yeah, cool. You can say that about any player in any sport at any given time. But the thing is, he's healthy. And when he's healthy, he just dropped 6.4 a clip on 13 touches plus 3 touchdowns, bro. Like,
and it's crazy that he only had 13 attempts, because it feels like he was just, man, he was getting the hard earned ones in the beginning. You know what I'm saying?
Plus the receptions. We saw just in the little first quarter action that we watched, he was getting quite a few screens and just quick little checkdowns drawn up his way. Yeah, 7 targets, 7 catches, another 60 yards, and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. He was graded really high as well.
Like, come on, bro. What do you like? That is a complete running back. That's an RB1. There's no need for Jonathan Taylor. And you know, it would have been cool, but again, like, he wants to talk about bad karma. That was my whole point for not wanting Jonathan Taylor. I'm like, it was crazy enough that we added Jalen Ramsey and then he gets hurt almost instantaneously. So how about we chill out? Let's work with what we got. Prove that we got some homegrown talent and some stuff here before we just start adding people like the Monstars. Like, nah, yeah, dude.
I mean, you want to believe in your GM and your coach that they're, you know, that they think that they think that what they have is not just sufficient, but, you know, talent. And, you know, there was an argument to be made that that was the case. I mean, I wasn't against Jonathan Taylor, that's for sure, or Dalvin Cook, but I'm sure glad looking back that, you know, it went the way that it did. And then Devon Achane, man, he comes in and gets, what, 18 attempts? Now, I don't want to be, like, pessimistic about it or anything, but the reality of the situation is that towards the later half of this game, these Denver Broncos that are already losing by, like, 20, 30, 40 points are beat down out there in that humidity, out in the sun, like mentally. 90 degrees sun in the humidity. You know what I mean? They're over it. Yeah. They're ready to get out of there and leave.
I want
to
go home. I don't want to be here no more. This isn't fun.
So that's not to take away. We watched the film. So in no way am I trying to take away from what he did on the field. But, you know, just keep that in mind that every time he touches the ball, he might not go for 200 yards here. But
I don't know, brother. He touched it all four quarters. He never got tired, and he kept that thing moving. I know 11.3 a carry is nuts. I know doing it on 18 carries is even more nuts. But dog,
his vision.
I don't know who's most impressive. Who's to say like he can't keep it up? Because, like, on some of those, obviously not 11 to carry, but if he can keep 6.4 like Raheem Mostert, we could have two guys averaging over 5 yards a carry without Jeff Wilson, without Savon. Like,
I mean, if you're going with that logic, we have three guys that are averaging over that. Because we got Chris Brooks, who I think averaged 7.3. So
Chris Brooks, baby.
I mean, I wanted to see him a couple times last week.
We wanted more eight. Because, we wanted more Devon last week too, and you know, again, McDaniel is so much smarter than us, and I'm so glad that's our coach. He's the best.
I wanted him in like third and one situations. You know what I mean? Like, bring Chris Brooks out. Let me see him like do what he did in preseason. Just like manhandle somebody into getting that extra yard.
Yeah, no more Ingold. Man. Ingold on the short yardage. It's bunk. People, it's on film. It's too predictable. It doesn't work.
I'd rather you line Ingold up as a running back, like fully, you know what I mean? And then try it, then like the little sneaky one.
I'd rather you guys just use Tua like Jalen Hurts, because you got some thick thighs too. Let's just go ahead and push this thing a little bit.
And as soon as they're talking about that play while the game is on in my fantasy chat, mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, some people are like, we need to ban that play. And I'm like, why? You know, my opinion, I'm just like, just don't let them get in a short yardage situation like that if you don't want to deal with that.
That too.
And, I mean, there's an argument to be made because I think Richard Sherman said today, like, the defense isn't allowed to do that and push anyone in the back on their team to stop somebody. So, and the offense shouldn't be allowed to do that either, but whatever.
I digress. Before we go to the receivers, one last thing on Devon. And yes, it was impressive. He could potentially push for rookie of the year if he just plays well. We might have the coach of the year. We might have the MVP, offensive player of the year, and Tyreek. We could come out.
We got the MVP.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be someone one across the board. But
one of them's getting MVP.
I had someone say to me, or I heard someone say, that it feels like watching Devon run, like when he breaks to the second level, it looks like you have Tyreek Hill at running back. And with them talking about their speed comparisons and how he might be faster and their track stuff and all that other funny business, like when you put that into perspective, we have Raheem Mostert getting the early work warming you up, and he can break away on you at any given moment. But your change of pace is even faster and just as fast as the guy that you've been chasing around the whole game that still has 10 receptions for 150 yards already. Like, that is so tough to stop, dude. Like, I know we're not talking about the Bills, but I just don't know what you're supposed to do, dude. Tua's getting rid of the ball too fast.
You have both of them, all three of them can be on the field at once with Braxton Berrios as well, mm-hmm. moving in different directions and pre-snap motions, and you just it's a real threat in every direction, and it stresses the defense so heavily horizontally, vertically, that you as a team now have to choose how you want to play us on defense. Do you want to give your defense a better chance numbers wise with people defending the pass, or do you want to give them a better chance to stop the run and stack the box? And then we're going to kill you on the opposite of whatever you choose. It's a crazy time to be a Dolphins fan, man. Who was the highest graded receiver? Let me guess. Tyreek Hill.
I mean, let's be honest, man.
Let's be honest.
You can't cover him. If you play too far off, he's gonna break down. He'll hit you with a hitch curl, something coming back to Tua, and Tua will zip it to him. If you play up close, he's gonna go over the top of you. I watched an NFL safety on Sunday have what he thought a perfect angle on this guy open field, and not even get a hand on him. Literally reached out like, oh my god!
That corner that was they had Surtain out there a couple times on him too. And
brother, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean that's about the cream of the crop when it comes to being able to hold Tyreek down out there. So, I mean Tyreek made it. To me, showed it in the last game that you can't cover him, because that was the appropriate way to try and stop Tyreek.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he still was getting it. but, man. He's
not, dude.
There's a mic'd up that just came out of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And it's on. There's a part where Travis Kelce gets a touchdown from Patrick Mahomes. And then afterwards, Patrick Mahomes is like, Kelce just does what he wants, man. And it called for him to run like a corner route into the corner of the end zone, and he just decided not to. And he went the opposite direction and kind of caught a touchdown in the middle.
Right.
And Pat was like, yeah, I was going to throw it, but then I saw him break, and I was like, I kind of knew he was going to do that. I knew he wasn't going to listen to the appropriate call and that he was going to do that, and it worked, and he did it. And they're just on the same page, like Tom Brady, Gronkowski type stuff. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And we're seeing right now for like the first time, really, that's kind of what Tyreek and Tua have going on right now,
yep.
Where Tyreek will just break out whenever he wants out of these routes and just catch Tua wherever Tua wants to hit him. And it's so undefendable. Like, you can't guard it because they don't even know for sure when it's about to happen. I'm watching the film like, are they throwing it at certain hashes? Or like, how do they know? And they're just doing it. Like, it's crazy.
They have
man.
To have a like a set of rules almost. Like Tyreek and Tua know if they line up 8 to 10 yards off of me and they immediately drop back, like it's covered three, like we were watching earlier, I know that I'm going to push them upfield and then hit a comeback or hit an out, something like that. Because we see them do that a million times to people. And it's just like incredible. All right. So if you want to play up, if I see that the safety, let's say, is single high and they're going to try to go one on one and this guy's going to play up on me, I'm going to break inside. Because I'm going to make him chase me, and there's not a corner on earth that can chase me. Oh, get on your horse, young man. You're about to have a long day.
Did you see he said he wanted to be a porn star?
I did. Mike Evans.
How do you feel about that?
That man can do whatever he wants. Like, you keep playing like this, you bring us a Super Bowl ring, I'll share your videos on my story. I don't care, bro. This is my close friends.
Was like, it was the longest pause. Tyreek tells him,
"Yeah,
Evans, while they're playing
Evans
Fortnite,
pros boy."
And he asks him. He's like, and then Mike Evans doesn't reply, and he asks again, "You think I could do that?" And he's just dead silent, and he forces him to answer, and he's like, "Man, I have no opinion on that."
I mean, yeah,
you could do whatever you want.
Just do you, bro. Yeah, bro. Like, you got that.
Oh, man. He hated that he asked him that.
But honestly, we were talking about receivers. Like, our biggest receiving threats after Tyreek were our running backs. They actually combined for the same amount of targets as Tyreek, and they did not miss any targets. So they combined for two more.
Didn't miss any.
Yeah.
Tua was one throw away from breaking the franchise record, at least. He was 16 of 16 at one point.
Literally insane. And Mike White still had a better completion percentage, but it's all good.
Yeah. But there was a We saw a little bit of Julian Hill out there.
We did. He got busy. Him and Durham.
Yeah, I mean, some of them look like they really, you know, were impactful in the blocking schemes out there on some of those run plays. Man, a lot of guys were out there blocking. Tyreek Hill being like, you know, a big part of the blocking game. Tyreek Hill, for how small he is,
of course,
whatever people's perception of him, of what he does on the field, it being fast and an elite receiver, but like he's really out there blocking.
So if you're a defensive coordinator, how do you even scheme up getting around a team that's blocking like this as a unit? It's not like we just have three or four guys blocking on run plays. We usually have at least about eight guys blocking. And
I think you got to be built for it. I think,
you know what
some
I mean?
Teams might be built for it, but they're, you know, some teams aren't built for it, and you can go into the room and be like, look, man, everybody on this team is being physical. They're good at being physical. They're going to put their hands on you, and they're going to try and outman you. You need to outman them, period. We're the bigger team. We need to outman them, period. And you either do or you don't. And then, you know.
Yeah. Because they're,
that's all you can say.
They are very physical, but on top of being physical, man, they're fast. And they're probably the fastest offense in the league, on top of them being as physical as they are.
Maybe ever.
Probably
ever. I think there's a correlation. The Rams team that went to the Super Bowl, I believe, was the fastest team in the league that year. And then the Niners team that went the following year was the fastest team. And now I believe we are, and maybe ever. I know that currently all top five of the fastest plays in the NFL are a Miami Dolphin, I believe.
And it starts in the trenches.
It does start in the trenches, so we can move on to...
We were worried about that. Ouch. We were very worried. I know and I'll come out and say it because these guys have been shutting me up. I thought it was going to be a close game last week. I was wrong. I thought Isaiah Wynn was big garbage and he wasn't going to be able to stay healthy. He looks healthy right now. I was wrong about that. This man is blocking his rear end off and he's playing. I like him. He's shut me up. He had a couple of mistakes, but you know,
it's
football. We're going to have some of those, but you know, the flags are way down from last year. I'm not seeing as many pre-snap penalties or delay of games or just little icky tacky dumb ones that we were getting a lot last year.
And that's like the biggest noticeable difference to me as far as the offensive line is concerned, is like how in sync they look. You know, they are like way more certain of what they're doing and what's going on than they were last year. Mm-hmm. You can see that they have like a better grasp of the scheme, and that's probably a lot to do with Butch Berry, man, who another guy coming out of the, you know, he was the offensive line coach, as we said, for Denver last year. Mm-hmm. His name got trashed as if it was all his fault. He was a scapegoat. You know, we were kind of concerned when we hired him. I'm like, man, what are we doing, you know? And I think he's the opposite of what everybody said he was. And
yep.
Even players like Lester Cotton are seeing improvement. I mean, Isaiah Wynn improved.
Absolutely.
Obviously, Austin Jackson improved. You could even make an argument that, you know, in pass protection, Connor Williams is doing better. The fact that Kendall Lamb is, you know, a viable option at left tackle.
This is Connor Williams' second year playing center, and I know he's getting bashed for the snaps and everything like that, but he came to us as a left guard that had problems jumping off sides. That boy don't jump off sides no more.
Well, he's in control when the sides get jumped.
And honestly, if you guys want to run back the tape, that was one of our preseason calls way back when. The easiest way to make sure he doesn't jump off sides is to have him at center, because he snaps it, everybody goes. So we've, I think maybe they listened to it, but that had to feel amazing for Butch Berry to just see your offensive line just manhandle them at every level. You got guys pulling and just taking out defensive backs and like walloping linebackers and just running with every running back on the roster that's in pads. If you like,
and Alec Engel too, man. Alec Engel's out there hammering fools.
He's great. We can't. Can anyone speak any higher
Cedric
of Connor
Wilson?
Like an Alec Engel? I mean, like Cedric Wilson looked good out there blocking. Yeah, we're pulling up the
package.
Run blocking grades. If we want to use PFF grading, Teron was best in the run. Obviously, I think he was best in the pass too. Yep. One of his best days, you would say, right? That you've ever seen?
Absolutely. You could just see, I mean, we saw him kind of come back and fight through injury last year, and it was like he was very, very good. But this was like, all right, fools. He walks in with his, like, you know, 16 chains on, the shirt's open, belly out, sitting rolled on top of the Gucci belt buckle with the jeans, and he's like, yeah, I don't know about that practice training camp and practice and none of that stuff, but I'll see y'all, like, whenever I got time to play.
Yeah.
And he comes out here and puts up a performance like this? Come on, man. Yeah. This was like, oh, there was a couple snaps, films going around on Twitter where he just, like, puts up like a pass block technique versus a run block where you get him like kind of more narrow,
yeah,
for control, and still manhandles this guy almost out of bounds. And it's just like, it's good to see him out there, man. This Thanksgiving, once again, I'm going to be thankful for Teron Armstead being on the field.
This year and every year. It's like having Blastoise on the field, just running and pulling and leading and pancaking. And oh, I can't wait for Sunday.
That whole the whole package that we were watching when we were watching the All-22, where Tyreek Hill's not on the field. And mind you, obviously everyone knows that Jaylen Waddle missed this game due to a concussion protocol. But the package in it, we saw it was Durham Smythe.
Julian Hill,
Robbie Chosen, I believe, and then Cedric Wilson.
You had some Cedric Wilson, and there was a little River before he got hurt.
Yeah, yes, River Craycraft went out. I think he probably separated his shoulder or something. He is not day-to-day as far as I have heard. I think he's going to miss a couple games. But I'm confident in the depth of the wide receiver room for sure. But yeah, when that one look was out there and Cedric Wilson was out there, that he was blocking his ass off. Alec Ingold blocking his ass off. Even Raheem Mostert, when we saw him, you know, he was out there manhandling guys too. This is the whole entire philosophy of what this offense was built upon when we talked about, as many episodes ago as hiring Mike McDaniel,
mm-hmm.
and we talked about the way that they coach in San Francisco and how important it is and why Debo gets to go for these long runs, and it's all because George Kittle, Debo, Ayuk, all these guys block well downfield, and we're seeing it take place here.
Everyone blocks. It's not one guy kind of blocks, and I saw a couple of clips going around of our boy Robbie Chosen. Everyone loved the deep ball, but he got a lot more reps with Eazy-E out and Waddle out, obviously. And you saw more than once, not finishing plays, walking, not really blocking anyone, getting back to the huddle without getting his man off the ground. Just like little dumb things that you can tell aren't up to Coach McDaniel's standards, as he likes to say.
Yeah.
So,
and we talked about this before the episode a little bit, and I think like he's from like a losing culture. No, you know, it's dead ass serious. He's from like a losing culture on the Jets. Then he went to,
yeah,
you know, the 1 or 2 year Baker Mayfield experiment in Carolina when they're going through coaches and selling off their best players.
Yeah.
And, you know, then he was lost somewhere and now he's back, and a lot of it was him looking like he's given up on the play based on how far downfield he is. Like, oh, we're 30 yards away, I don't need to block. And he turns around. And you turn around and you're running back, or, you know, Devon Achane's coming around the corner like, hey, man, you got to expect that these plays are all going to go for touchdowns.
Yeah,
Your blocking assignments should be under, you know, the assumption that your man's coming right behind you. So if we can get him up to speed on that, you know, he should take a look at the tape.
Yep.
See why everybody else is doing it.
I mean, Robert Hunt was doing it per usual. Isaiah Wynn was doing it. I mean, we can't say enough about the starters. I know this was one of the games where we didn't have any snap issues. So, you know, that's been addressed. They've been talking about it. Connor
went out with an injury.
When he was in, at least, we were all right.
Yeah. Well, then what happened? We see Liam Eichenberg come in, who, man, oh, man, son. I thought those days were behind us where I saw that guy on the field.
I thought we were
and
good.
I thought I didn't ever going to – I didn't think we were going to have to talk about him on the podcast. I didn't think we were going to have another one of these rants about Liam Eichenberg.
We don't have to have it.
No, we do. Because he came out.
We know, dude. He
started snapping the ball. And then the next thing I know, he's upside down, Sut. He's on his backwards like a turtle on its shell that can't get up. Just awful, man. Awful. And God, at this point, I'd rather see just a guy who we signed tomorrow. Like, I don't ever want to see him again.
Yeah, he's so bad, dude. It is what it is. It sucks. It seems like we don't really have another option.
Terrorist.
Yeah. What's up with Connor's injury? Is he going to be back? Because that's actually important.
I don't know. I have no idea. I just know that there was a couple injuries that I was thinking maybe that they left the game because, you know, we're winning by so many points kind of thing. Like, yo, I just hurt my groin. Like, it was a groin injury for Connor Williams. And then it was what did Jalen Phillips go out with? Oblique injury, I believe. And I'm hoping both of those were more so because, like, hey, I'm not playing in this game hurt while we're winning by 30, 40 points.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm going to look it up really quick, but hopefully it's just something simple like that. I know I didn't really pay that much attention earlier when I looked at the injury report. I just saw that Eazy's out because of his neck. And I didn't realize that he had a neck issue. I thought he was just like a random scratch the other day, but they don't tell me much, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what's the next position group here? We would be moving to...
Defense.
Defense?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll start with the defensive line. How do you feel about the inner defensive line this game based on what we saw?
I mean, between Christian Wilkins, Raekwon Davis, Zach Sealer, those guys are just solid. And then, you know, we've been complaining about Ogba for a while. He didn't look terrible.
I didn't complain about Ogba.
Well, I was, because I wanted more and I expected more. And he, like, wasn't even showing up really in preseason games like that. I'm like, yo, you got paid. You used to be, like, honestly, our biggest playmaker on the D-line.
He had a strip fumble, I think, in preseason, the one or two snaps he was out there.
I don't know, dude. I just wanted more.
I just want to see him roll the dice. That's what he does.
Just go get it. You know what I mean? I'm used to you going and get it. I don't be seeing you going and getting it like that no more, dog. You got soft on me, dog.
He rolls those dice out there because he's saying it's a gamble when you see me on the field that you're going to, that the ball is going to be ours.
And I'll even say
it's a chance. You're taking a chance lining up against him.
The few plays I saw my boy Brandon Peely, I liked what I saw. Raekwon Davis is out there actually moving some bricks. I'm like, okay, dog, like we're getting some push.
Deshaun Hand was out there. You know, I don't think he had an exceptional day in the run stop, but he, I think, no pun intended, got his hand on the ball once, and that was the one that I believe Ogba intercepted.
Yeah, man. So again, I couldn't be happier with them. Can't really knock them. People, I mean, the PFF grades for Sealer are kind of weird versus the run, but like, I don't care. Watching the film, watching him, he played great. Like, they didn't break any big runs on us. They didn't really. I mean, the more that I think about it, did they even break any run plays longer than 10, 15 yards? I know they hit a couple of screens, but like.
They had a couple of screens. I don't know that they went for 10 yards, but I mean.
What I'm used to. I'm used to in our past or like, you know, every once in a while, the running game would just get gashed and it would be the D lineman just getting pushed right upfield and nothing really happening. And that's just not what happened at all. I'm not trying to see this. I'm trying to see the regular box score.
I think that we saw Raekwon Davis have a much better day than some of the games, at least last year, that he was having. You know, it's not. I think we were concerned about him, even like as far back as the episode where we had Alvy on here. We were concerned about him. He showed up big. He was moving men around. Christian Wilkins bouncing around left to right. You had him and Sealer obviously experienced in like trying to move around left and right and whatnot. As far as the pass rush goes, like we said, Jalen Phillips cuts out with an injury. Hopefully it was because we were winning by so much.
This is what I was looking for. They had Marvin Mims, 3 yards a carry. Javonte Williams, 3.8. P. Ryan, 3 yards a carry. Jaleel McLaughlin, 3 yards a carry. The longest run play was 16 yards from Javonte. So, like, they couldn't run the ball. And, yes, they got away from the run pretty early because the blowout started, but not in, like, the first quarter. It was pretty close early on, and they're supposed to be a team that wants to establish the run and do all that nonsense. But, like, bro, they just couldn't. Like,
yeah, a lot of that, well, I would say, if you want to move on to the linebackers, is because we saw David Long Jr.
I was about to say 5-1. That boy was in it to win it, dog.
Yeah, he was smacking them. I mean, he was even on the ones where he, like, you know, didn't complete the tackle, he's the reason that the tackle happened where it happened, you know, short of the sticks.
Right.
Him, we also had, you know, Jerome Baker out there. He, as far as PFF is concerned, did not have as great of a day, but at least with the tackling.
Yeah.
I would say some of my favorite tackling just by watching the game, man, not in the run defense, you know, if we, I guess we can include the corners and linebackers here, is that Kader Kohou, man.
Oh, my God,
that guy,
dude.
In the run defense, like,
He's trying to snatch something. He's not like, I guess what people would call a traditional corner. That's just a coverage guy. And, you know, he's just going to try to, like, grab at the ankles and catch you by your shoestrings. Like, no. Kader is trying to square up, shoot his gun, and wrap up and slam you if he can.
He's got a lot of that same energy Javon brings.
It's,
you know,
awesome. Javon is trying to smack you, brother. And, again,
yeah.
Jalen Ramsey's another guy like that. And it just so
can't
happens
to see it.
He's on our team.
We're one more day closer to seeing Jalen Ramsey on the PFF report.
It's coming. It's going to be awesome.
Andrew Van Ginkle was out there. He was good in the run defense. Deshaun Elliott, man, he's been good all around. Safety.
He's awesome.
He had that early in the game before the Courtland Sutton touchdown, one of their first attempts at the touchdown. He, like, gets his hand on a ball, smacks it out in coverage, just, like, was really good in run defense the entire game. He's been a great addition. We've kind of been talking about him a little bit more and a little bit more at a time, but you know, Brandon Jones was hurt last year, and then, you know, he wasn't able to play these first few games. I think they're easing him back into it, but we're lucky to have that guy in replace of Brandon Jones. But
I was about to say, he took Brandon Jones' job, dog. Like,
yeah, I mean, they're easing Brandon Jones in. What he had 16 snaps he played after it was a blowout.
You know, like, that's because you're the backup, bruv. Like, it's not easing him back in. He's the backup.
They're using these different guys based on the team that they're playing too. You know, like, we're seeing a lot of changes.
Yeah, it's very true.
It's interesting to watch.
We could end up going to some bigger nickel packages where he can drop back at safety and Javon could play in the slot. Like,
maybe
we can do some weird stuff.
Brandon Jones is pretty good in the box too, like, closer. So,
yeah,
you know, we watched that last year. That was kind of his thing. Like, we were more worried about him in coverage than the run defense. Like, he was good in the run defense last year. So we'll see. I'm sure they'll use him at one point in the season more often. We watched David Long not be in the game for the majority of the game. What, week one?
Yeah. What did you think of Bradley Chubb and the outside linebackers this week and what we got out of Jalen Phillips?
I don't know. Bradley Chubb, I felt like, was getting the pressure. It's always going to be one side or the other. I feel like one side gets all the pressures and the other side's going to get the tackles and the sacks. And, you know, I feel like he was, if there was a sack or people in the backfield, whoever got there, if it wasn't Bradley Chubb, he was, like, you know, a half a second step towards, like, now I'm here too kind of thing.
Right.
And that's what it looks like most of the time when they're back there. It's either one or the other. I don't put too much weight in these PFF grades when it comes to the edge rushers, man, because I don't know. I just watch it. The eye test, the infamous eye test. You
right.
know what I'm saying? But that's just my opinion.
I respect it. And I mean, I agree. Chubb is solid. He looked solid. They were getting there. It's really hard to grade if a pass rush was good outside of them just getting sacks and pressures. I feel like sometimes they kind of just throw stuff at the wall and just kind of leave that as people's grades. But he's still got to hurry, still got to hit. He's still like about a half a step away on a few of those. And again, I don't mind getting Van Ginkle's snap count up a little bit more and just sending him a little bit more at the pass rush. You know what I mean? That's my boy. So I know he gets home. So,
well, once Phillips got hurt, I think we saw Ogba go in place of him. And I wonder if that's because, you know, they just wanted to give him a shot, or if it's because, you know, he's actually third, fourth string and they don't want to injure. If they're taking out, you know what I mean? If they're taking out guys,
yeah,
that means they're taking out Van Ginkle for the most part. That means, you know, like they might line Duke Riley up out there on the edge at one point if it's a blowout. But
what does Van Ginkle do when he's in the game, dog?
I mean, he's a monster in every single aspect of the game. That's my boy.
He's going and getting the ball. He's rushing to the – he's so solid, dude. Did he get a fumble recovery after one of the strip sacks?
Last game?
Just now against Denver.
I don't think so.
Was it him? I don't know. There's a lot going on. I could have swore I saw that hair get his hands on the ball again. But
I mean,
I was buzzing hard once we hit 50.
Oh yeah, I was, like I said, I was screaming to go to 70.
Yeah, that was absolutely incredible. We don't even need to bring special teams into this.
No, we'll do a little pass coverage in the corners though.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always going to defend Xavier Howard. And, I mean,
talk about that play, because like, everybody's just going to say, oh, well, like the Cortland Sutton touchdown. That's a prime example. Prime example of what?
Two things. And I'm not saying he played great, but I'm just saying he's everyone's like, oh, he's washed, this or that. This defense is built to kind of, in a sense, allow plays to kind of happen underneath you. And for them to take it slow and just force the offense to play perfect.
Right.
That's what they're supposed to be in position to, if not make a play on the ball, tackle the person immediately, short gains, you know, make them fight for it little by little by little. Every single execution needs to work, or else they're going to capitalize on your mistake and then give the offense more opportunities on that side of the ball. So his responsibilities are a little bit different. You see him tackling the guys as soon as they receive the ball. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. He's right there. He's not playing man-to-man as much as he was before, where he always gets to play his own way and jump in front of the route and try to pick the ball off. It's not going to be the same. I hope it'll get a little bit better than it was. But on the play that you're talking about, Cortland Sutton runs a route all the way to the left side of the end zone. And this is what Josh Allen does to teams, is what Russell Wilson's done his entire career. It's just that once the play is extended and we're going on 5 seconds, 6 seconds, or whatever it is, like, this is no longer, you know, a corner covering his man based on what he thinks the route is going to be. We watched last game Xavier Howard run somebody's route for them. You know what I mean? Like, technique. This game, once the play goes that far and it breaks down, they're just improvising, and it just comes down to if the corner can keep up with whatever random moves and decisions that the receiver tries to make. And 9 out of 10 yeah. times for any team, I feel like it ends up, you just can't. That's on the pass rush.
Yep.
That's on the defensive line. That's on the people. If you have a spy out there, that's on. They're
blitz.
Not supposed to allow a pass play to extend 6-7 seconds, because you're not expected as a corner to be able to be in position to stop that from happening. And at the very beginning, when it came down to Russ trying to make the throw, he couldn't, because Xavier Howard had Sutton locked down. And then 3-4 seconds after he scrambles out to the right side, then he no longer did. But
you just like saying that you had Sutton locked down, but it's fine.
Sutton's locked down, bro. Anybody with that name, bro.
Just low for real. But for real. He really did have that route covered, and you can watch it at any angle. He had it covered all the way. That's why Russ tucked it and started running around. So, I mean, it's unreasonable for people to just go, oh, well, you know, you see? And again, I still think he is a step slower than he used to be. But Xavier Howard, a step slower than he used to be, is still better than 85% of the league covering anyone. So it only gets worse behind him. You know, people don't like X. Okay, who do you want? Eli Apple? That boy Perry Nickerson? Like, let's be completely realistic right now. Justin Bethel's solid, but he's already playing the whole game. So, Gator, Gator's solid. He's also playing the whole game. Gator's fantastic.
They are what they are. They got Xavier Howard ranked worst over here, but like, you let somebody score a touchdown on you, and then you give up another one for like 15, and that's what it's going to say. And the average on the one big one, whatever. We'll see what happens. Give it a couple more weeks, and you can tell me I'm an idiot. But for right now, nah. He's framed on my wall. I won't be taking any of it.
Ever. I need to get the picture of him from the Mac Jones pick six when he did the Darren Sharper home dick.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. I got the one where he's one-handed Tyreek.
Oh, that one is – that was my phone background for a long time.
Yeah, same. But I think that covers just about everybody, right? I mean, we didn't talk safety, so we might as well talk about Javon Holland being the best player on the defense for, you know,
week,
the tenth episode in a row.
You know, like, how much do we need to keep talking about him? Guys, let us know. So, that'll be the one question that we put on the little Spotify thing. Like, the question, are you guys sick of hearing us talk about Javon Holland, yes or no? Because I could talk about him every minute of every day. And not get tired of it.
My girlfriend could talk about him. My girlfriend could literally start going off on you about Javon Holland. She knows the deal.
He is fantastic.
We have been telling you. We have been, all right, as far back as the 2020 or the 2021 defense, whatever his rookie year was, with Flores, where he had a little bit of freedom and he was able to make plays and you started seeing it. We were telling you then. Then this the next year, same things happening. And then I think somebody got injured. I forget. Oh, Brandon Jones gets injured last year. And then he ends up having to play a little bit more conservative. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he can't really take chances based on the personnel they have out there. And we were saying, look, that's why it's happening. He's still doing his job perfectly. It's just not as, like, electric. Like, he doesn't have the chances to make plays on balls. He's playing a traditional, like,
it sucks.
Conservative safety role.
It's boring.
This year.
It's safe. It's fine. But
off season, we told you. Mm. We told you they were going to hire Vic Fangio and that he was going to look like the old Javon Holland in this scheme, and he was going to be able to do what he wanted back there and really make a difference. And now you see him everywhere. I mean, the dude is spearing you in before you get to the second level. He's all the he you if you didn't know any better, you think the man was a linebacker, the way that he's got all these run tackles,
bro.
And then when it comes to the coverage, I see, like I said last week, I see him, the one I see number eight running in a direction towards the ball while it's up in the air, and I know I'm good.
Let's think about this, not only this game, because I think this game might have been his best on PFF or whatever the heck, but think about that game, that Chargers game. How many times you saw him flying downhill on screens, on runs, on basically anywhere where the ball was at, he's there. And then you go back to week two, Patriots game, same thing. Ramondre Stevenson, head up, he's blitzing, coming up like on the line of scrimmage, he's everywhere, every play, he gets to the ball. He's bound to get a couple of interceptions here sooner or later, even if they're tip balls or whatever, just because he's flying all over the place. But again, they call us the day one Dolphins. From day one, we've told you about Javon Holland. We did our scouting on him coming out of Oregon. Once he actually dropped to us, we accepted it because we were in need of a safety. We were still upset about not getting Antoine Winfield, because that was a guy that kind of felt like fit us perfectly.
No, I was confused when we drafted him for sure.
Yeah.
I think that was when there was a running back available. Was that Javonte Williams? I don't know. But somebody was available there where I was like, what?
Yeah.
It might have been Jonathan Taylor. I don't know.
It was the COVID year that Javon Holland sat out that kind of threw people off. But there was only one other safety that people graded around him. And when you watch, it was Trevon Mooring or whatever his name was.
If we drafted three safeties in a row within like 3 years.
Needed them.
And it was Minkah Fitzpatrick, Javon Holland, and Brandon Jones, dude. Think about that. Heavyweight. Some heavy draft picks.
All bangers.
And that will bring us to the close of the episode.
Oh, no, Minkah.
I talk about
no, Minkah.
How I've been telling you about Chris Greer, bro. All right? I had one little lapse where I was concerned about the offensive line and gave into the fact that he may not know what he's doing when drafting offensive linemen. But other than that, this dude built a super team. a super roster. And I'm not going to sit here in retrospect and judge him on what the record of these seasons end up with, barring whatever injuries occur. Look at the team he's created. We got people calling this a generational offense. Maybe the best offense ever. Talking about better than the
greatest show on turf.
Yes, greatest show on turf. Think about that.
So call us the greatest show on earth. Because that fits.
They're calling it on surf.
Greatest show on surf. God, that's so much harder.
You like it? I didn't know how to feel about it.
Raheem does the surfboard celebration.
Yeah.
That's tight. And the Selly. We didn't even shout that out. What did you think of the gang Selly?
Oh my God. I want it as a moving GIF, and I will use up whatever battery life it takes on my phone to have that constantly be the background on my phone. It was just them doing the conga. Even better, the mic'd up comes out. Tyreek was the one mic'd up, and he's like, "Hey, are we gonna do the celebration?" And Tua's like trying to like shut him up, and he's like, "Yeah, we're gonna do it when we score right here." And then they did score right there.
Like,
and
come so on, they go dude. Out.
And then, yeah, man, like, Tua's cold, man. He's like, "Yeah, we're gonna score right here. Hold on."
Now, again, you talked about it earlier. We're pretty much done, and again, we're allowed to close on Tua because he's the MVP. But this guy has shown the whole world that he's this cold in the past. He was this cold at Alabama. This is not news, and this is where he's more comfortable. The last couple of years, it's been tough for him being hated on in the way that he was and being disrespected and being told all the things that he couldn't do, because at Alabama, he was just this cyborg touchdown throwing machine, and that's what he's used to, and that's what he's back to. And we didn't really harp on it, but the biggest difference in the thing that Dolphins fans have seen, early on, we saw that he was just holding on to the ball too long, and he wasn't letting it go when he wanted to. He needed to figure out NFL open and all that. Now I think he has a mastery of what NFL open is, and he can create it himself.
He trusts his arm is what's impressive. So when it's not open, he'll still throw it. He'll throw it when it's open, and he'll throw it when it's not open. Yeah. So what more can you ask?
He's him.
He threw two touchdowns with his left hand and two touchdowns with his right hand. I'm just throwing that out there.
Enter T.O. GIF. That's my quarterback.
And on that note, follow Chief Sutt on Twitter, at Chief Sutt. Follow your boy Ouch, at YFins, YY. Follow the Day One Dolphins podcast, at Day, the number one, Dolphins. We will be back in about 48 hours to fill you in on a little preview of the Bills game. It'll either be me, or it'll be Sutt, or it'll be both of us. We don't even know yet, but you'll find out here soon. Till then, Sutt?
Yes, but a win again.
Again, and let's call it two more.
Again, again, and again. Come on, man.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're on the ground.